660, and we are now live. And with me over the phone is, was Representative James Kaufman, and now it's Senator-elect James Kaufman. And we're going to be discussing a constitutional appropriation limit. James, are you with us?
I am.
Good.
Good morning.
Good. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to us and give us a short update on what you have going with your proposed solution to the spending.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you. So, yeah, I was a member of the State House along with you. You and I were caucus members and had a great 2 years in the House. And then the opportunity came up to run for the Senate this time around. I did and ended up being the senator-elect for District F, which is kind of the Anchorage Hillside, East Anchorage area.
And Anchorage, that's that town south of Nenana, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bird down here. So won that, and one of the things that had been a key driver for me to run at all, even back in 2020, to go to the House, was my interest in bringing quality management processes to government, particularly in the fiscal policy area. So driving more accountability, better predictability, and higher performance. While in the House, I introduced a couple of economic pieces. One of them was the spending cap, which is a constitutional and statutory cap, which is designed to reference our private sector economy as the thing we measure to decide what government can spend. So the cap is measuring our state economic product in the form of our state domestic product minus government spending. We measure that, and then we say, okay, we can spend a percentage of that, but no more.
Okay.
And that percentage is based upon a five-year average in order to smooth out the measurements so that you don't have abrupt changes year over year.
Okay. All right. Why don't you hang on with us, and we're going to take a quick little break, and then we'll be back in just about 3 minutes.
Sounds great. I'm right here.
KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This is Representative Mary Peltola. Our state's congressional offices are available to assist you and your family. Please reach out at 202-225-5765 or visit peltola.house.gov, and we will do our very best to help. Since I was sworn into Congress in September, our team has picked up where Congressman Don Young left off. Continuing his efforts to support Alaska veterans and their families facing food insecurity, plus securing needed funding for Alaska's ports and typhoon recovery. Protecting Alaska's salmon, crab, and halibut stocks is also a major focus of our work in Congress. In committee, I'll continue working on the Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Act to make it even stronger for Alaska. Again, please call us at 202-225-5765 or visit peltola.house.gov if there's anything we can do to help you and your family. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. And then Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Followed by the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. All shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
KFAR Weather. A mix of clouds and sun today with a high of 3 below. Winds out of the north, around 5 miles per hour. 12 below tonight, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow, 3 below. Overcast skies Sunday, decreasing clouds by Monday. Single digits above zero Sunday, near 10 above by Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, thank you for staying with us. We are back, and I'm speaking with Senator-elect James Kaufman, and we're talking about the proposed constitutional spending cap. And James, we kind of got an introduction, but kind of take it from there and explain a little bit what you mentioned, that the spending limit is based on a 5-year rolling average, I think you said, of the private economy. So could you go into a little bit about how that works?
Yes, sir. Well, first off, a bit about caps. Alaska currently has a constitutional cap, but it was so written in a way and at a time, it's just useless. It would allow double our present spending, so it's never been an effective management tool for the state. It hasn't prevented any excess spending. It would almost be impossible for it to ever kick in. It allows such a high amount of spending. So we have one. That often surprises people. And then this being the problem corner, so the problem statement that I was working with is, how can we bring beneficial control to Alaska's spending, improve our spending ratios of what we spend on operations versus capital expenditures and other costs that the state has? How can we get a beneficial control created that will help the state keep an eye on what's important and do a better job of deciding how much money to spend every year? And so what we came up with, working with economists both in Alaska and outside, I started networking with different organizations, and what we ended up creating was this 5-year rolling average of our state domestic product minus government spending, and the idea that we both constitutionally and statutorily decide what that percentage will be, and then we stick with it. Mm-hmm. And what that allows is greater predictability. It prevents these surges that we get when we sometimes get a lot of revenue in, like a high oil price year. We get a lot of extra money, and suddenly everybody's, you know, the extra money is in quotes. Suddenly people are deciding what to do with the so-called extra money.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea with the cap is that it just controls that peak consumption, kind of the binge consumption or binge eating, and rolls some of that forward, and so that we have it, it's accessible for use in future lean years, and it basically enforces a smoothed out spending and savings regimen. It isn't harsh. It's not a significant cut to what we're doing, at least as constructed with the ratios that we're using right now. But what it does do is bring better control, and just that right there has an amazing effect in retaining billions of dollars in big income years to use for forward spending in the following years.
Mm-hmm.
We have these booms and busts. And it prevents the revenue seeking that happens when we overspend in 1 year, and then the state's running around, you know, in a state of crisis mode, looking for, well, how are we going to fund this, and who are we going to tax, or where can the revenue come from?
Yep, and that's important, because when you increase spending, you create a future expectation that spending will continue, and if you don't have the funds, somebody is going to be disappointed. So this will help create in a little, it'll take a little bit of time for people to get used to it, but it'll create a more realistic expectation and a more stable operation in the state government.
And predictability.
Predictability, yes.
And there's a lot of folks in the business community that are becoming interested in this, because predictability is, you know, a stable, you know, predictable platform of governance is what enables commerce. So one of the key things that we're supposed to do as a state government or any government is enable commerce, make it possible for people to know what's coming, provide the infrastructure and the other things in society that, you know, allow for the transportation of goods, services, people. And so all of those things will be enhanced if we have predictable budgets that, that don't have the boom and bust spikes built into them.
And this happens because you're proposing a five-year trailing average of private production within the state.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Private sector economic activity.
Right.
And there's a couple of benefits there. One is that it anchors the state government to caring about our state economy. There is a future state that might exist if the permanent fund continues to grow and we were to get to a point where we're basically operating the state in trust fund mode. There's enough money being spun off by the permanent fund. Let's say we get to that $100 billion or $120 billion. Well, we could be in a condition where the state has everything it needs to run itself off of the proceeds of the permanent fund. And it has no need for the deeper economic activity represented by our resource development projects or other things to develop the state. So one of the reasons for the cap being constructed like it is to deal with the specific conditions of Alaska, in that we need to guard against falling into that trap that has been created by, you know, the tremendous opportunity of our permanent fund. But there's also a hidden hazard when one, you know, you look at a decade or two, and where will we be, and will we be a national park that is, you know, has government, some service sector, and nothing else? So this is part of guarding against that potential outcome.
Yes, and that the alternative of just, it's really an illusion that we think we can depend on the permanent fund or any trust fund, even on an individual level. We all want to work towards retirement, some point where we're financially independent. We don't have to worry about going to work day to day. But as a society, that doesn't happen. That creates a mindset, really, that is not sustainable. And you can't grow the permanent fund in reality. You can't grow it high enough, spin off enough income to meet all of the demands, because demands always increase to fit the supply of money or the supposed supply of money. So this is a good idea. And to stabilize out the impact to the private sector, just provide some stability that will help other businesses be a little bit more confident in investing in Alaska. So that's a very good way to structure it. Thank you for the work that you've put into that. So,
well, thank you. There's another piece of it, and I spoke before about, you know, you have two areas of expenditure in government. You basically have operating expense and then capital expense. If we can begin to improve our ratio of operating expense or OPEX versus capital expense or CAPEX, so if we can improve that, we can get where we're doing a better job at a more sustainable and more predictable job of building and maintaining our infrastructure. If you go back in history, in my website, akrepkaufman.com has spending cap information. If you look there, you'll see peaks in spending that have occurred over time. And what those are massive bursts of capital expense, of building infrastructure or building or doing deferred maintenance. Well, along with every one of those big events comes kind of a hangover when we don't have the money to actually maintain our infrastructure. So by leveling this out, what it will do is help retain the skilled personnel, the service sector that can help us maintain our infrastructure. and will provide a more steady funding for that. So you'll get a big benefit right there. You'll get workers will stay because there will be steady state, you know, improve and maintain funding for our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We can maybe get some of those things built that we've been looking for, or get things improved. You know, we need ports, roads, railroads, all of those things that we talk about. As we level out our funding for this, it's more predictable. We'll keep the skilled people and companies here that can do that work, and that's good for the organic economy.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So there's multiple levers being pulled by the structure of this, and it all stems from causing the state to be linked at a constitutional level to our state economy.
All right. The music indicates that the satellite's coming overhead, and it's going to take over the program in about half a minute. So we'll take a little break here, and we'll be back after the national news, weather break, a few messages from our sponsors, and then we'll be back, and hopefully we can take some telephone calls. Okay, so stand by.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
An arrest has been made in the murder of four University of Idaho students on November the 13th.
According to paperwork filed by the Pennsylvania State Police, 28-year-old Brian Koberger is being held for extradition and without bail. He was picked up earlier this morning in eastern Pennsylvania near the Pocono Mountains.
Fox's William Lajeunesse, Moscow, Idaho police will hold a news conference at 4 p.m. Eastern. Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee released 6 years of former President Trump's tax returns from 2015 through 2020.
During his first year in office, Mr. Trump paid $750 in taxes. He reported losses of nearly $13 million.
Fox's Chad Pergram, the level of taxes the former president paid fluctuated greatly from nearly $1 million in 2018 to nothing in 2020. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that thousands of Alaskans are soon going to have to find a new place to pick up their pharmacy prescriptions. Kroger, Fred Meyer's parent company, announced in a company press release at the end of September that they would be discontinuing their contract with Express Scripts Incorporated effective January 1st. According to Fred Meyer Director of Corporate Affairs, Jeffrey Temple, there were several reasons behind the decision to discontinue the contract. The contract did not enable Kroger family of pharmacies to improve health access, deliver pricing transparency, or keep prices is affordable for more than 17 million patients, which is especially concerning during an inflationary period, Temple wrote. TRICARE is one of the insurance companies impacted by this discontinuation and serves all active duty military members, National Guard and Reserve members, survivors, former spouses, Medal of Honor recipients, and their families, as well as others who are registered in the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System. Also impacted are customers of Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey Fairbanks, North Pole. There are burn rules and alerts to keep you, your neighbors, and your buddies safe and healthy on bad air days. A stage 1 alert means no burning without a waiver. A stage 2 alert means no burning unless you have a no other source of heat waiver. Remember, no burning until the alert is over. There's more info at FNSBAirAlert.com. A message from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Being a septic tank, I spend all my time in my family's yard, an occupation some consider limiting. But I like it. It gives me time to think. I think about how thankful I am my family has Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing bump me out once a year. I never worry about septic backup. And long winter night, I think about UFOs and flying reindeer. They're real, you know.
Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, the Bigfoot with the helping hand.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh, yeah!
Freeze your fat away without surgery or downtime with Cool Sculpting, an FDA-approved non-surgical cool way to treat muffin top, belly fat, bra, leg, and chin fat. The only Cool Sculpting in Interior Alaska is Solstice Medicine and Wellness. From your chin to your legs, don't just fight the fat, freeze it. Cool Sculpting makes fitting into your favorite fashions an attainable goal. You owe it to yourself to look your best. Call for your free consultation. Call Solstice Medicine and Wellness, 907-456-6334. 907-456-6334.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us, and be sure to thank our sponsors for let them know that you heard about them on KFAR, because without our sponsors, we'd just be talking to ourselves, and that wouldn't do much good, would it? So, this is Mike Prox sitting in for David Pruse today, and with me in the studio we have James Kaufman, who's the senator-elect from Anchorage, and we're talking about a proposal that he's been working on for a change to our spending limits, both in the Constitution and statutorily. And if you want to give us a call, the number to call in is 458-8255. 458-TALK if you have any questions or comments for Mr. Kaufman. And with that, Mr. Kaufman, did you stay with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. So we've been chatting a little bit about how the spending cap is going to work, and if you would want to just maybe summarize that for those who have just tuned in, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah, the spending cap that I'm proposing is based upon measuring our state domestic product. So you think of national gross domestic product. So our state domestic product, which is the measurement of all the value of the goods and the services produced within our state, and then using that as the benchmark, the success of our private economy averaged over a five-year period, and using that as the benchmark to determine every year how much we're going to spend on state government. The reasoning behind this is that we need a better link between our organic economy, the actual productivity of our people, our productive economy, and our government spending. Mm-hmm. This is all part of a plan a fiscal plan that I refer to somewhat jokingly as diet and exercise. And to quote a doctor that I was chatting with once in talking about, you know, consumption control, he said, it's impossible to outrun a speeding fork. I think of that saying often. The people argue over whether we have a revenue problem or a spending problem. And I always think back to that doctor saying, you can't outrun a speeding fork, meaning it's always easy to take in more than what you really need, and it's very hard to produce value with that. You know, maybe an Olympic athlete can churn through thousands and thousands of calories every day. The average person can't, and I believe some of this dietary control for the binge consumption will help our state better manage our state economics.
Okay, very good. And we do have a call. Let's go to that. And good morning. You're on KFAR Problem Corner, and who am I speaking with? Good morning. This did not work.
Well, I'm still here.
You're still here, and the button looks right, but we have something else that we have not thought about, so it looks like the phone calls are not going to work. That's why they hire amateurs to run a radio program, because it's fun to watch them struggle. But sorry, I'm having some trouble with the telephone this morning, and I am not able to figure that out. So I guess we will have to just go continue on. I'm sorry about not being able to take calls. So now I have to think about all the questions. And with Alaska's private production, that is effectively driven by oil production and oil prices on the North Slope, correct?
That's our biggest, by far, that's our biggest sector. But the measurement includes all activity in the state, right. So tourism and other resource production.
And that, except for fisheries, the other production remains relatively constant. And so by smoothing out the income flow from the oil royalties and oil taxes and whatnot, we're going to be able to make the government function follow the rest of the economy. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it's the total sum of our state's economic activity minus government spending.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to not influence the number by our government spending. So it's really to measure the private sector economic activity, average it out over five of the last 6 years, because you're not working with the year you're in. You've got the averages of the last 5 years. And all of the fiscal modeling that we've done with economics folks indicates that 5-year averaging is kind of the magic potion. It's the right length for both predictability and reactivity. It has a very nice, it creates a very natural ebb and flow of spending potential by averaging things out over that time period, and creates good predictability. It's easy to look at where we're at in that measurement and say, well, here's what we can spend in the coming year.
Mm-hmm. And one of the advantages is that the legislature and others who are working off of state grants, municipalities, different organizations that depend on state revenue, will have a more predictable source of revenue, which will help us in our annual planning and debating efforts in the budget. And so that's a good thing. I don't know that we talked about, but you have some exceptions to that for things like if there's a disaster or something like that. There are exceptions. Could you go into some of the exceptions that you're considering in your bill?
Sure, certainly. Well, I guess even before that, every spending cap proposal that you'll hear is based upon two main things, and one is what are you measuring? So
mm-hmm.
Some caps they measure inflation and population and try to come up with a control mechanism out of changes to inflation or population. In my opinion, there's a lot of problems with using that as a control mechanism. For one thing, Alaska's our economic activity is contracyclical to the U.S., sometimes the world. We operate on a different cycle here, so those things don't always line up with reality in Alaska. And population, just because you have a big family, it doesn't mean you can spend more. There's pieces to those type of measurements that I disagree with, and that's why we're using this average state domestic product.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a better indicator. Then the other piece, and that's what you just brought up, is what's included and what's not included. And so one of the problems with designing a cap is to design one that actually works with all the things that can actually happen in the world. And for instance, this cap excludes direct spending on a disaster declaration. So that's an example of where you need to opt the cap out to get out of the way of a future situation where we would need to spend, do emergency spending on a declared and specific disaster. The other thing that's left out of the cap is the permanent fund dividend.
Mm-hmm.
The scope of the cap is not to try and solve all problems. It's really just to bring a better control around our annual spending decisions.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for how we're going to arrive at a total long-term sustainable and predictable plan for government spending. Is it, we have to kind of do this one at a time. And I think this is the first sideboard, I guess is the right word, to establish that we're going to agree on some sort of predictable limit that enables us to make decisions within that limit.
Right. I think of it as kind of the foundational piece of the rest of the menu of economic policy. So get a good plan for how you're going to control and determine your spending on an annual basis, and then you can start to build the other elements around that.
Yep. And let's see. Well, we're coming up. We're going to take another break for some words from our sponsors. But when we come back, let's talk about the effect on the permanent fund dividend, because that is important to, well, every Alaskan, and that's on a lot of people's minds, too, and we'll see how that works, how the permanent fund dividend works within the spending cap. But stay with us. We're going to hear some words from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Jeans Chrysler, Coors Light, and Crown Royal present the Backyard Country Barbecue featuring multi-platinum artist Chris Young live in concert Friday, June 23rd at the Carlson Center.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna leave. I just had that one drink.
Tickets start at $45 to $75 in advance. Don't miss Chris Young in concert this summer at the Carlson Center.
Tuxedo waiters, black tie.
This is an all-ages show. Chris Young, with over 5 billion career streams, 8 studio albums, and 10 number one hits.
The bluest skies don't seem so blue.
Tickets are on sale now at ericksonevents.com. Chris Young with the full band. Brought to you by Key Realty and the Clarion Hotel.
This is an Erickson Unlimited event.
Ain't nothing going on in town tonight.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy skies today with highs around 3 below. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows around 7 below. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, high of 1 below. Single digits above 0 Sunday, near 10 above Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. Your guest host this morning is Mike Proctz, filling in for David Pruse. And with me over the telephone is Senator-elect James Kaufman, and we are talking about a proposed change to the Constitution to establish a more workable, reasonable, I think the technical word is appropriation limit, but what everybody thinks about is a spending cap, so that's what we'll call it. And so we've been talking a little bit how it works, some of the exceptions, and anything else that we need to know about that?
Well, there's other exceptions. You're not limiting money as it's moved, you know, to state savings accounts, so you're not controlling that through the cap.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the spending on a declared disaster or the permanent fund dividend. The reason why we don't address the dividend in the cap is one is the scope of it. If you're gonna do legislation, you know, or a constitutional change on a cap, you really just want to keep it clean. It's about spending control. It's not about every other. You're not trying to dabble in everything. It's keep it simple, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that the cap does not get in the way of is federal money. So you don't want to do anything that can get in the way of you know, receiving or deploying that money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few other things. So, but basically, it's addressing our general fund spending, and you know, kind of what happens with the bulk of our budgeting, and with a few minor exceptions or a few contingencies such as disasters. Now, the idea of this cap is that it exists within a suite of other improvements that I could see coming afterwards. You know, for instance, I have some legislation to improve our budgeting processes to drive 4-year strategic plans and annual budgeting that references those plans to drive us into a more performance style of budgeting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much what did you spend, what do you want to spend, but also getting into and how are we doing on very useful metrics for measuring how well we're actually performing.
Right.
So it's back to that diet and exercise plan. So
right. And that's the ongoing work of the legislature. This isn't a magic solution for everything, but it is, I agree. I think it is the starting point. We have to recognize a realistic and predictable limit to the income to the state, and then we have to work within that limit. And the dividend, I'm in favor of maximum dividend, whatever we can get. That's me. But it is, from the perspective of the legislature, just part of spending. And it would be for any ongoing corporation. They have to decide whether, you have to cover your kind of essential things to keep the business running. And then you have to decide, if I invest money as a corporation, is it going to return more for my shareholders some point in the future? And if it is, then that's a good investment, if you think it will. If not, it should be paid out in dividend. But that's a continuing discussion that we have in the legislature every year. This is going to make it easier, though, because it makes some more predictability and will get us thinking about this on a more rational basis.
Yeah, thanks for that. To me, it sets the framework.
Mm-hmm.
So you can argue about what you're going to spend things on, but if you have a better control around arriving at the decision of how much we're going to spend, and that has a little bit more of a constructive constraint around it. And by constructive, I mean if the state is measuring what they can spend relative to how well we are enabling commerce through our actions, that's the beneficial connection that will start to lift all boats. So you want to spend more? We'll do stuff that actually promotes our state economic performance.
Yes.
And it will be a constant reminder in the background that, that the economy is what we need to take care of in order to provide, to lift all boats, to
mm-hmm.
provide economic benefits for everyone.
Mm-hmm. But we have to have this discussion to then get started on a more reasonable discussion on everything else. We have to continually focus. You were talking about the performance-based budgeting. That's a great idea. There is some of that in place right now, but it needs a little improvement, definitely. But that's our job.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can do to be sure that we're actually measuring what matters.
Mm-hmm.
We're referencing our conversations against that. I've done some work in the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to start to use the legislature does a great job of auditing the executive branch activities, and they produce audit reports with very meaningful findings.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's going on in the background is to start using that information as a more consistent part of our budgeting process and have discussions about, okay, so here's your budget for this year, your requests. So
right.
How are you doing on these audit findings or these other key performance areas that are at issue?
Mm-hmm.
And That's part of the, when I talk about diet and exercise, that's the exercise part.
There you go. Yes.
Getting more output out of what we're consuming and perhaps consuming less.
Yes. And, you know, we should be doing that now. The legislature should be doing that now. And the public has a right to ask, well, why aren't you doing that anyway? And, you know, the answer is we're spending so much time on the budget. People are not thinking about how their spending requests fits into the overall budget, and are we getting return on investment? We're just thinking about kind of a panic. This year, we got to get by with our program. And hopefully this, what you're proposing, will change the culture and the thinking process down in the legislature, make a more rational environment. So,
thank you. The idea was to bring a touch of, government is not a business. You can't literally run government like a business. But the theory I operate under is that we can be much more business-like. We can adapt and adopt to best practices and incorporate them where we can. Mm-hmm. And so these improvements that are designed to bring a bit more constraint in through better measurements and a bit more performance by using those measurements to drive improvements, that's how every great organization in the world moves itself up the ladder, whether you're talking, Toyota or, name a well-known company. They have all climbed the ladder through using continuous improvement processes. One of the things that I say is that we're a multi-billion-dollar operation that doesn't have a quality management plan.
Right.
And so my mission in the legislature has been to try and bring those private sector concepts in and adopt them, start to change the culture a little bit. And I feel, considering, I've been there for 2 years, we've started to get these concepts into the discussion, and the private sector's has started to take notice of the CAP proposal and has been giving me some support and, opportunities to speak to it. So we're starting to get traction on these ideas.
That's good news, because that's what we need. And I agree. I think that this is the most logical approach to it. The others that are based on inflation and population are kind of assuming that you can maintain the status quo. And you can't. If your income drops, which has been the problem we faced, for the last several years, you can't just continue spending. You have to adjust to new conditions, and then you have to look at ways to continuously improve the operation. Not that somebody is a slacker or whatever. We all, throughout life, we can always improve, and we should always be looking for that. All of us, not just state employees, but legislators, everybody else needs to be looking on how can we do things better to provide either a better service or a lower cost so we have other options available. And it kind of boils down to that. That's our job.
There's a lot of opportunity in that. In other words, I think Alaska can do a lot of great work for its people by starting to focus more on quality and cost consciousness of delivery, not necessarily cutting things, but we have things right now that just have to work better because people depend on them. Yep. And if we can make them operate better, things will be improved for everyone. But before we get too late, I just wanted to mention again the website.
Yes.
Because it has information on the CAP, and if folks want to take a look at the charts and graphs and video and stuff, it's AK Rep Hoffman. That's spelled KAUFMAN.com. So AK Rep Hoffman.com. And then there's a tab for the spending cap. There's also a tab for the Executive Budget Act. And those are the two big policy pieces that I've been putting forth. And we're coming out with them again, this time in the Senate. I've been invited to speak at the 10th. To some business leaders that want to hear more about it. So we're starting to get a little traction. And if anybody has any questions, you can reach me via that website. There's a contact form there to fill out, or my number is there. So any questions that weren't able to be addressed today, I can certainly talk to anyone or correspond with anyone that has questions.
Mm-hmm. And that was AKREP. Finish it for me, please.
KAUFMAN, Kaufman.com.
KAUFMAN, one F.
Yes, sir, one F.
Okay. And go to that website, and there are some good illustrations. I think you had some illustrations of how spending has fit in the last few years, not worked, or, you know, produced income deficits, and then how things could work in the future, graphically represented. And this has been thought through quite a bit, right? And you've had, I believe, Alexi, the legislative finance director, has helped you with this. So you've got some pretty solid data that you're working off of.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've done good work, you know, with the help of others on the modeling, the design of it. And, you know, these things you can't just look at statically on a spreadsheet. You have to look at them, you know, how do they really work as time goes by?
Yes.
And we think we've got a good proposal here. Now, okay. The devil's in the details, you know, the numbers, the ratios, et cetera, that can be debated and will be, I'm sure.
Yep.
But what we're really looking at is what's the measurement? What's the measurement tool?
Yep.
And how do we average that into a healthy measurement that actually does good for the state of Alaska?
All right. Well, thank you very much for your work. And if people want to get more information, they can go to akrepkaufman.com. And thank you for listening to us, and stay tuned for National News.
I'm Evan Brown, Fox News. The man police say slashed and stabbed those four college students to death in Idaho is now in custody in Pennsylvania, and they're getting ready to share more with reporters. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has the story.
Pennsylvania officials have arrested Brian.